Thank you.
I think
sure it's been boring without me.
Don't worry, people have kept us entertained. Now, so what we discovered over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the subject of Gezel Akim, stealing from the non-Jewish people. And we've discovered it's the issur to steal, not allowed to, because you can't steal from a Jew. If the goy has given you a loan, and for some reason there's no way of him realizing that he lent you that money, for example, he died, and the sons do not know of its existence, then there's a halakha called Havkas Hava, which is mutter. It means you're not allowed, you don't have to pay back. Because Gezel by Goy is learnt from Posik when you take it away from him. Not if you give it by him, legally, and not just paper.
Is Shabbos Aveda the same thing?
Shabbos Aveda is when he loses an object, then there's no chiyuv, and sometimes it's awesome to return an object to a toy. That's it, Kiddush Hashem.
So there's no mitzvah Pius Baal Chol by your guy?
No.
It's just Gezel.
There's just an Isser. Gezel, and not to pay a loan back to a Jew is also Gezel, but not to pay a loan back to a Goy is not Gezel, it's allowed. As long as there's no Chil Hashem, means he doesn't know about it. Now, we're discussing a case. Let us remind people of this case. We have Reuven and Shimon in the bank in Chutz La'aretz. Jewish bank. Reuven goes first and he has a check to deposit $1 million. Shimon goes second and he has his check to deposit $100. They do that. And then a week later, Shimon realizes that he's got $1 million in his account when he was only expecting $100. And Reuven sees that he's only got $100 in his account when he should be having $1 million in his account. So, Shimon knows Reuven, and he knows what's happened. Because obviously, Reuven's money must have gone into his account. So, before Reuven has a chance to go to the bank in order to point out the mistake and retrieve his money, Shimon makes a summons from Beis Din to say, Reuven, hold on, you're not allowed to go to the bank, we have to discuss this in Beis Din. Maybe I'm allowed to keep the money and you're not allowed to cause any event which will take that money away from me. So, we have now a case in Beis Din. Now, what is the actual status of that money which has been wrongly credited to Shimon? He should only have $100. And the bank has, by mistake, put $1 million in his account. Do we say over there that, well, the boy's made a mistake. I didn't cause him to make that mistake. He's given me $1 million. He knows not the wiser, doesn't know any better. There's no mitzvah of Shabbos Sabbatah to give it back to him. And therefore I can keep the money.
Right. You may not to keep the money, but why can't I inform the bank that they owe me $990,000?
So, we've already discussed that in Shurim beforehand, that if you tell the bank what happens, then they're going to go after me
and take out
the
too.
Money account.
For me to discuss, for me to get my money back.
And we concluded that you're allowed to protect your rights. To go after what's yours, even if it causes the goy, so to speak, take away money from a Jew, which may be legally the Jews. So the question is that what happens if the bank don't believe Reuven?
Reuven is the one
who lost their $1 million. And they need Shimon to verify the details in order to transfer the $1 million back from Shimon to Reuven.
Oh, I mean, if it was impossible, the paper trail that would tell him where the money was supposed to go and where it went.
It's a
check, right.
It's not transfer.
Oh, was cash deposit?
It's a check.
Oh, it's a check. So yeah. It's almost impossible for him not to believe Reuven.
Right. It is possible.
It happened?
It is possible.
It's possible.
Nothing happened in England.
possible.
Shake came from
it is possible.
That is.
How?
Shake came from the Cayman Islands.
The Shake what?
Came from the Cayman Islands.
Now, the question is, what is the money relationship of that money in Shimon's account? So, for those who weren't here with us last week, what do you think? Does it belong to Shimon, which because it credits his account, and so to speak, the boy has made a mistake, given $1 million into his pocket, and now he has no obligation to return it to the boy?
Actually,
is that money really belonging to Reuven, and therefore his obligation to return it to Reuven? Or
neither.
Third scenario. What's the third scenario?
The money actually belongs to the bank until Shimon goes and says, "Give me the money."
Very good. If we would have had notice last week, we wouldn't have been talking about it for 10 minutes. The status of that money is all that's happened is numbers in the computer have changed. Has there physically been put in Shimon's pocket $1 million? No. Where is it still sitting? In the bank. And all that has happened is that on the computer it's been registered that you have a right for $1 million withdrawal because in our figures we put $1 million in credit for you. Because what's the relationship of somebody to a bank is whenever I put money in a bank, it's not that they're looking after my money. Now, the relationship is I've lent money to the bank. They can do what they like, and they owe me money. So whatever in the bank is not mine, it's the bank's. And that's why you need a hetesker, if there's any witness.
Then he's a goslin.
Once we go to take that $1 million.
Then he's a goslin.
So now, the next stage.
It wasn't his money.
If
he knew
the
money
still belongs to the bank, what happens if he now makes a transfer from his account out of it? His account elsewhere. Is that action of stealing from the goy, or is an action of making the goy make a mistake? What's that action called? They're taking a transfer out of the goy's, out of the bank, to another place.
If I initiate it, I can't see how it could be called making a mistake.
It's called that I and causing the goy to make a mistake. And the halakha of when I make the goy make a mistake is also the kula alma according to everybody. To transfer money. The goy, yeah, because the goy is going to, I'm causing. Yes, but it's still there. Still there, and if I haven't touched it, it's still in the hands of the boy. So now what actually makes him actually take it out of the boy's pocket and give it to me? Me, I come along and say, you owe me $1 million. Look, give me $1 million. So I'm causing him to make a mistake and give me $1 million. The mistake is not yet done because it's still in his pocket. That's different, because the goy gave me money, which I'm allowed to do, even if I have no credit, I'm allowed to take money out. It's just I owe money, budget. I'm making him make, in the case of the restaurant, I'm making him make a mistake, not of giving the money. I'm making him make a mistake of not giving the money. He is perfectly okay, but he's not going to record the money, which is going to be. It's a different type of mistake. Here, I'm actually make a mistake of giving the money, because if I don't have rights, he wouldn't actually give me the money. Yes, that's a mistake. Yes,
the
what
Ruben? The bank might take $1 million. The bank has the right. The bank has a lot of money.
Yes.
The bank wants its own profits, giving you $1 million. It can, right?
It can, but only if they recognize you as somebody who we would give you $1 million. Now, Shimon, they wouldn't give $1 million to if he doesn't have that credit.
The bank gave me a right to take $1 million.
They gave you a right to take, but they haven't actually taken yet. So therefore, what actually takes it out of the reshus of the goy is me going to the bank and saying, hey, You see that over here, this piece of paper, it says I have this right, which you gave me. I want to actually activate the rights and take it out of you. So at that stage, you are now causing the goy to hand you the money, which is not rightfully yours, and that's called getting. Because it doesn't become yours just because they give you a right to take it. No, but it belongs to the goy. The goy has mistakenly given you a right. It's not actually yours yet. And you're activating that right to take it from the goy, which is a mistake. So therefore you're physically changing the right into actual money. The right into actual money is gezel. You had a right, which was a mistake. Okay, that wasn't your problem. In fact, you had this right, it's not your problem, because the goy gave it to you. But then change the right into physical money. But use the right to actually pull money out of the goy's pocket. When it's a whole thing, it's a mistake. That's called gezel.
Would it be different if the bank mailed you a check on their own?
If they give you the money, yes, it's different.
In the check form, it's still different?
It'll be different. It'll be different. Yeah. Okay. Now, the question is, that's by transfer. No. We're not going to discuss what exactly the check is. What happens, can Shimon write a check to somebody of $1 million? Is that different? He can't make a transfer. Transfer means I'm pulling the money out. I'm telling you, take the money out. Is the check the same? Is the check also pulling the money out or not?
Yes.
Pulling someone else to pull the money out. Look, they give it to another Jew.
The same thing.
You make the same thing?
All right. Certainly if he writes it to himself.
Okay. Yeah, but then they won't see the mistakes. So, well, what you've used this check to pull money out, yes? Yeah, only if they ever realize there's a mistake, yes? So, Nissen Kerelet has a very big chiddush of what a check is. What is a check? So let's look at Malkum number one, his definition of a check. Checks a bank. A check belongs to a bank. Even though you can use it to take money out hayom, the day.
Does he mean a bank check or a personal check?
No, his personal check, yeah. Eidino kamomen kishtato is not like money and it's not like a debt either. A check. It's not saying the bank owes me money, that's not what the check is. Elarak Hurala Bank Shiyushalim. All it is a message to the bank saying, please could you hand over $1 million to this person.
So the treasury question.
So why is the check?
What's
it still depends? Even if they send you a check, the money's still in the banks.
Okay. So why should that make a difference? Does anyone clap? Why should this definition of a check make a difference to the shy that we're asking?
No, according to him, it's the same thing, the transfer. According to him, it's a transfer request.
What is the difference between a transfer and a check, according to Rebis and Kalelis, which you just read?
Sounds like the same thing.
No, obviously you don't know what a transfer is, either. By me writing a check, have I actually pulled the money out myself?
No.
Well, so that is, I've sent a letter that says, can you please give me or give him $1 million? Yes? A request, that's all it is. A request.
Yes. So, what's the difference between...
So, let's say I wrote on a piece of letter, take my letter and I write, please, Mr. Bank, could you give him $1 million? It's the same thing. Now, when the bank reads that letter, can they say, well, no, we're not going to do that? Or can they say, yes, we're going to do that. It's a request. They can either say no, they can say yes.
What makes them say yes?
If there's money in the account.
If there's money in the account. But what makes them say no?
No money in the account.
So it's up to them to decide whether they're going to give you the money or not give you the money.
If there's money in the account, they're obligated to give you money. Can you decide not to? Well, just
mean
they're obligated to give you
because
money
is money. No, that's it's not necessarily true. Sometimes that you have money in bank, they may say, we don't, or there's outstanding debt, or there's we're worried about mortgages. Mortgages around. Yes. Yeah, but it's still at the end of the day.
Have you ever right to say, hey, you're on the way to the
still, I know that they're going to accept the request.
Why is it?
But I'm not actually pulling the money out. I know. I know they're going to, because I have a credit. Why have I got credit? Because they're giving me $1 million. I know by writing this check, they're going to accept it. But am I actually pulling the money out? No. It's their decision. And what made them make a mistake? Their own mistake originally made them make a mistake.
When you make a transfer request, the same thing. When you make a transfer request, they can decide to honor the transfer request or not honor the transfer request. Based on how much money you have, the mayor said yes and they say no.
No, transfer is different. Transfer is...
I go online and I type, please transfer money to Schmerl. And the computer's going to say, okay, yes or no, based on whether I have the right funds there. So too with the check. Please send check to Schmerl. Let's see, yes or no.
Transfer is a directive to them. You owe me money, look, and then put it over here. Instead of being in my account, which you owe me, put it over there.
That's what a check is.
No. Nope. Check is not... A check is not... All it is a request.
No, it's not a request, it's a demand.
It's not a demand, it's a request.
No, it is a demand. In fact, a checking account...
That's the thing is
a checking account is specifically called a demand account. In the United States, that's what a checking account is
about. Ah, the United States, okay.
It's a demand account.
We're now in El Cisro.
But a check even in El Cisro, they can't...
No, it's not a demand request. Let's give an example. What's the difference between a check here and a check in America?
I can stop a check in America.
Here you can write checks even when you have no money in your account.
Correct.
That's difference.
You can do it in America.
You're allowed to write a check here even if you've got no money in your account. So me writing the check doesn't mean I'm saying you owe me money. It's just a request. Even if I got no money, I'm allowed
a demand,
legally to write it.
Using my demand.
But in other countries, it's actually illegal to write a check when you know knowingly that you've got no money in the account.
It's not legal in Israel either. It's just
it
that
is
they
legal.
They
it's legal. It's absolutely legal. It's absolutely legal.
It's Minog. Everyone knows.
I understand it's Minog, but it's not legal.
It's legal. It's legal. They have no
I don't think
limit.
So.
It's just going to limit these.
I don't think so.
It's the unlimited. It's
what?
It's the unlimited. At their discretion, it's going
to get better. Actually, the Bank of Israel changed the rules like 3 years ago.
So Minister Kerenitz argues. Minister Kerenitz, because he argues that the way that check is worded is not the main that. Yeah, the R post going to say like you.
But
yes,
he said Haroi. He didn't say Bakasha.
According to Minister Kerenitz, if you end up in this basement, you can't.
Okay.
The answer I don't even say like you. Yes. That's the law in this country. They have the right to say no. It doesn't say it's a request. Yes, if you look at the fine print, you can see that there are banks.
I think even America had the right to say no. They could say we have a certain number of days, you know, the fine print somewhere. You can go to the store and ask for cash, and you can have in your account, and they could say, sorry, we're not giving it to you today. They said they don't have funds.
Based on this definition of check, we'll look at number two. The Shut Kisses Ladovitz, who is a dyer who lived in Belgium, says, therefore, Yesh Lachalik, therefore we, it depends. Bain Hamadinas, depends which country you're in. Dine if you're going to Bavadinas, Belgium, it's Osa, Issa Plia, who Lichtev, Midchek, Shein No Kisser. It's a law in Belgium that you're not allowed to write a check if you have no money in your accounts. Venitsa, therefore we find, Shetzen Ksivoso, Umvisiroso, therefore in Belgium, if you write and hand over the check, Basically, you're saying by writing that check is that you, the bank, owe me money, because if you don't, then it's awesome for me to write this check. I am, by writing this check, and saying you, the bank, owe me money, give it to me. That's what it means in Belgium, a check. In Belgium, producing the check means you, the bank, owe me money. That means that the one writing the check in Belgium is making the bank make a mistake. He's telling the bank, you owe me money, you have to give it over. That's what the check means in Belgium. But in Eretz Israel, where you're allowed to write a check even if you've got no money in your accounts, therefore the writing the check doesn't mean to the bank, you owe me money, and therefore you have to hand it over. It's a request. Please can you fulfill my request of $1 million? And therefore when they do fulfill your request, it's they themselves are making the mistake.
That would work for 100 shekels, maybe 1,000 shekels. Once you're talking $1 million, not even shekels, no one would have a havamina that someone's going to give it over unless the money was actually there.
What's the difference in halacha whether it's one shekel or $1 million?
Whether it's reasonable to expect it.
No. What does the definition of a check when you write it mean to the bank? In this country it means I'm requesting this amount of money. So the bank says, well, check. We'll see whether the records mean that you're going to get this money or not. But in Belgium it means if you don't have the right, then you have no right to write such a check. We can put you in prison for doing such a thing if you don't have it.
Why?
So basically it means that when you write this check, you, the bank, owe me money and hand it over.
I can't agree with that premise. For example, in the United States, every yeshiva requires, before the school year starts, you give them 12 postdated checks. Totally illegal. Everybody does it. You're not allowed to write. Yes, you're not allowed to write postdated checks if you don't have money in the account to cover it. And everybody does it. So the fact that it's illegal doesn't mean that I'm telling the bank I have money in it.
When they receive the check and you don't have money in it,
yes,
then if it's illegal, then it's against the law. Then they may prosecute you.
They may, but yes. They don't. That's just the way it's done.
How they see.
They can't prosecute you because nobody's going to pay their tuition anymore.
We're not talking about the school. We're talking about the bank will prosecute you.
The bank's not going to prosecute you. They won't have any customers anymore. Everybody does it. That's the point. The fact that it's illegal.
It's because of data, though.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's still illegal. I cannot give you a post-dated check if I don't have money today. Nope. Not if I don't have money. That's right. Technically, I can't do that.
They might not be doing it yourself or forcing them to do it, they might be creating the situation.
And what was the case of the Gemara that we said was permitted and Shmuel said it was okay to do because Shmuel himself did it? He came to the Goy and the Goy says, I'm selling this copper item, yes? And the Shmuel looked at this and knew that it wasn't copper, it was gold. And it was being sold for $4, and really it's worth $10. So what did Shmuel do? He gave him $5. In order that the guy said, ha, I've got an extra dollar, and I'm going to run away, and I'm not, and before the guy, so you're making the guy be able to make his own mistake. You're encouraging him to make a mistake. And it was perfectly wanted to encourage a guy to make a mistake. It's also for you to make the guy make the mistake. To encourage him to make the mistake.
There's no concept of my
kachal. But if there's chiloah Hashem, it's also, don't you get that?
There's no concept of my kachal by going.
What's
when you think of converge, it's really
no. Oh no.
No. Okay. If there's any chance that Bichol Hashem is possible. So then it's awesome. If you're telling me they can find out, it's awesome. We'll find it, we'll see a case soon where they'll never find it.
You can tell us that somebody can find out.
I can only tell you because I know the case. That's it.
Don't jump the gun.
This case took place in Kutzorot and that's also. Because that's the definition of Czech. If it would have taken place in Eretz Yisrael, it would also be also, because then you're dealing with Jewish banks. So.
What about a Palestinian bank in Eretz Yisrael?
I think there's
right,
maybe a little
right.
It's a Hashavas Gazela to the real owner.
On what grounds can you stop moving, going to the bank and saying,
you've got no grounds. He can protect himself, correct. But if he needs, no, but if he needs your input to get back the money, what's it worth? Is that, do I have to put my input to help you get back your money? I was given money by Goy. The Goy took away your money. The Goy doesn't recognize that he took away your money. You want me to help you get money back to you on the expense of me? Maybe not Mokhriyev, because maybe it's just a mitzvah or a Shovah Saveda. And the Shovah Saveda is not Mokhriyev in the case when you lose. I lose $1 million, which was given to me. it's a little.
That's a yada.
It's a, you're very good at it. You're very good at it. But simply putting, as I just said, the money now belongs to me, because the Goy doesn't know about it. He'll never know about it. No Chilul Hashem. And I didn't pull it out according to the Israeli check to a Palestinian bank. Okay. Yeah? So, and Reuven comes and says, hey, can you help me get the money back from the Palestinian bank by telling that the money was wrongly given to you, and therefore I take it out from you and give it to me. So, who owns that money now that was wrongly given to you? It doesn't belong to the Palestinian bank anymore. It actually belongs to me, because I decided I'm not giving it back to the Goyim, I'm not going to give it back to them, and therefore I'm keeping it myself. It now belongs to me. Now you want me to give up that money to look after your loss. That means Hashav is a greater at the expense of my money. Is that not Mokhoyev? However, but we're not doing Hashav Zubeda. Agav! I tell you now, there's a great sad to say, it's called Hashav Zubeda at not your loss, because even if it's called that you don't have to give the money back to the Goy, but does the actual money belong to you? You've got no mitzvah to give the money back to the Goy if the Goy, by mistake, puts money into your pocket. But does the money actually belong to you halachically? Meaning that if you use that money to buy an esrog, does the esrog belong to you that you can give to the mitzvah? Can you mekadosh an isha? It's not boshet. A lot of poskim say that money, even if you don't have to give it back, isn't called yours. If it's not called yours, you're not losing anything by the kaim the mitzvah shal zaveta, and therefore you will mukhoyev to give it.
Is that all cases? All cases of a talus akum is never called yours?
Yeah, it's a great start to say, it's not called yours.
It never ends up being yours.
You so you should always give it back then. Why would you
want to? Well, no, it's no chiyuv to give it back. And maybe it's even also to give it to back to a goy. But it's not called lachem. It's not called lachem.
That's a big issue. When you want to go shopping for lulav, you have to put the money aside and leave it so Mashiach comes. Don't use that money. Is the money tangible?
You can buy your shoes or something. It's no problem wearing shoes that don't belong to you as long as they're not.
But is the money not earmarked to any single bill?
What do you mean?
I found this $1 bill on the street. Yeah. There's no. That $1 bill is not different than this $1 bill, but it's all interchangeable.
Yeah, you can only switch and change. We're going off the tangent here. If you have money to switch and change.
So if it's not mine and someone else takes it from me, is that
maybe it's not Gesel?
Hefker?
Not Hefker.
Yeah, not Hefker.
Right. Not Hefker.
You
not
buy Hefker. The shoes with that stolen money, and now he buys the loom.
Not Hefker. No, the then to me, so we're getting very complicated. Okay. We're getting tired of this. Okay. That's just because Eric asked the question. I had to make him happy, otherwise he'll go away from the shoe. I'm so happy. They didn't even know it's lost. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Let us move on. And this is the case I was referring to. That there's no way the Goy will ever find out. But the question is, it must. Reuven wants to invest money. the stock exchange.
America is it?
Doesn't matter. Well, what is actually applied in America? Stock exchange. There's a very famous guy who's famous broker who has great success in how he designates and invests your money. Now the conditions that he makes. Ruben says, okay, I'm going to use this guy. He's very the conditional guy is based, and he signs a contract with the guy. That we're going to set up an account in your name. Money is going to be deposited in that account in your name. I'm going to use that money in that account to make certain acquisitions. Certain stock. Any profit you get, I take a percentage of that profit. You're not allowed to withdraw that profit until you pay my percentage. Right? So Reuben does that, puts money into that account, and the boy goes trading, and it's quite successful. Reuben likes what's happened. So he comes up with an idea. He opens up another account. And he puts money in that account. And he makes instructions that it should copy whatever happens in account A should happen also in account B. So anything which goes out in A and acquires, B also should automatically make a copy reaction. Now the boy, of course, doesn't know about this second account. And therefore, that goes on for some time. And there's double profits and only one payment of wages being made on that profit. Basically, the boy is losing what?
Nothing.
What's he losing?
Commission, but...
He's not losing commission, he's not dealing with his money.
Is that permitted? Is that offset? Is it Gezel? Is it not Gezel? It's not Gezel.
Is there something in the contract that addresses funds outside the account?
It's Mutter. It's not even going to be the same exact thing, because when you buy it a second later, you're not going to get the same price anyway. So it's only trying to copy his investment
it's
strategy.
It's an automatic system. Sit down. And it moves. Nice and clear. Okay.
No, I don't understand what the humming is. Is there something in the contract that governs funds outside the account?
How was the profit of the second account created? Who created that profit?
He took his advice.
Who created that profit?
What are you, who created it?
The guy's chachma.
The guy's chachma. So what?
The guy's chachma.
He's not charging for his
chachma. The guy's chachma. Okay. The guy, what is the guy charging?
He's charging him for asset management, specifically for those assets that are under his management. Unless he says, you can't use my strategy for other assets, there's no such a tenor.
He says that. You're not allowed
what
to.
What does he say?
No, it's in the contract. You're not allowed to take my advice and use it outside the system.
Oh, so that's what I'm asking. Yes. That's in the contract.
Yeah, that's bullshit. That's why there's no point.
That's not standard in a contract.
It's not standard?
No.
It should be standard.
It's not. It's absolutely not
standard. Okay? It should be standard. The top ones, I'm sure, are standard. It is standard.
In the brokerage contract that I can't copy your transaction?
Yeah.
Can you send me a comment?
See, you learn something.
I learn something every week.
Okay. So now, who created that rev up, that profit for that second bank account?
The guy.
Now, is the guy ever going to find out that I've taken money and not paid for his service, so to speak?
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Unless you tell someone, then, you know.
Yeah, unless you tell me, and I make a shit out of it, and somehow it gets around.
Oh,
hard to fight that, yeah?
Yeah,
don't say hard to fight. Maybe for Goy it's hard. Now, this carries on. You know how long this carries on for? Before the Shiloh was asked?
5 minutes.
Ah, nearly good. 6 years.
Real
yes, real case.
What happened after 6 years that he decided to...
He felt with pads.
Unless we make no money.
He probably, like a good Jew, had 10,000 in an account that was being managed, and he had a million in the other account.
Yeah, probably. So the question is, is there anything that he needs to rectify his feeling of being bad? Or no, we can say to him, it's okay. Has he done something wrong here? Has he done Gezel Akum? Has he done not paying his debts? What has he done?
He broke the contract.
Is it a debt which he hasn't paid? Or is it Gezel? That's the question. If it's Gezel, it's off. If it's a debt which he hasn't paid, it's Mutter. Yeah? And we're going to find out. So, what is the status of such a case?
What does it say in the contract? It says you're not allowed to do it, but if you do it, then what?
You're not allowed to take out your profits until you pay me my wages. And you're not allowed to use my information in order to...
Oh, that clause doesn't refer specifically to that account, you're saying? That clause in that contract does not refer specifically to the account.
No. Okay.
Well, you're stealing information, which is not tangible.
You say he is stealing, but it's information. Yeah?
No, he's stealing commission, not information.
He
said I'm required to pay you commission. If I use
so we got a shot. Look at number three. Gam hakas hava eina muta ella. Not paying back a debt is only muta ella kishachayv l'shalilin derech mechas aderechov. It's only when the money which you owe to the goy is because of a tax bill, or because you borrowed money and now you have to pay back the debt, then if the boy doesn't know, you don't need to do it. Avamashu derech mecha. But if you know, owe money to the boy because you bought something from him, and now in lieu of what you bought, you owe him money, and he doesn't realize, even if he doesn't realize and he will never find out, it's still awesome not to pay back. Why? What's the difference? At the end of the day, I bought the table from the goy. What do I owe? I owe money. It's a debt. A debt because I bought a table. What's the difference if it's a debt because I borrowed money, which I'm allowed not to pay back, and a debt I owe the goy because I bought a table for him, which I am not allowed not to pay back. I have to pay back. What's the difference?
Well, you have an issue of loss.
Both of them are not debts at the end of the day.
You have an issue.
You agreed to give it to you in the first place.
You have it.
On the contrary, you agreed that you shouldn't do it. Not that you can do it.
You have an issue of loss solid, no?
Oh, you're saying no solid? You're saying that it wasn't agreed to what? Take the chain to the table. What? All the money. What did he agree to? When I took the table and he perfectly gave me the table with consent, he said, here's the table, you owe me now $100. Pay me back in 2 months' time. 2 months' time, he's forgotten all about it. Am I mechuyev to pay him back? Yes.
Because his only kinyan by your goy is only kesef, so the table belongs to him until you pay him.
No.
Why not?
Because the sitzim tzav is a minad, so it's already yours.
That's considered already yours.
Does anyone come up with something clever to say? The table's the aim. So why should that make a difference? Good. You're thinking on the wrong, the right line. That's how you start thinking. You're thinking, what is physically the difference between the two cases? That's good, that's how you start. With a loan, once the money's given to me, it doesn't exist anymore. It's not physically. This $100, that $100, it's out. With a table,
table was given to me, it's still there. Hey, it's still there. Why should that make a difference?
How did he acquire the table?
He acquired it. Did Mashiach HaKwa? I took it home. Very good, very good. Very good. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So he explains it like this. Yesh Isan HaTosa B'cheshbon B'nesinus Mars B'eid HaKhefet. There's an Isan to trick the goy when you're giving money in lieu of an object. Why? She'ein HaNochli Makna Lo HaKhefet Ela B'ad Skub HaDomim. Because it's understood. The guy is not going to give you rights over the table unless you're going to pay money. Shabbosiko, which she said is what you have to give. And if you don't end up paying the money, it ends up lamafreya retrospectively as if you stole the table.
How is that different from what I said?
If you give a table and say, you have to give me $10 for that table, even if he forgets, but linked in taking the original table was, this table only becomes yours if you fulfill your part of the bargain of giving me the $10. You never did, then the table which is instilled in your house now becomes gezel from the goy.
So why is that different from saying in kinyan and going over the kasef and therefore the table still belongs to the goy?
Because it's not because of kinyanin. Because of a tanai. It's a tanai. I'm giving you the table over. And you are doing a transaction which will transfer the rights of the table by pulling it. But if you don't give me back money in lieu of it, then I am saying that the table is being taken away illegally. It's gezel.
Okay, let's say I order.
It's a condition.
Let's say I order the table mail order. And the invoice says FBO UPS, which means title transfers to you as soon as it gets on delivery time. It's yours. And you give me 30 days credit. So that means I don't have to worry about it then?
Correct. Correct. If the situation is the guy says, hey, the table's yours, you can't return it, non-returnable, you owe me money. He says, I've now transferred it, that you actually owe me a debt. And then it has the status of a debt. Now the money is not in lieu of the table, because the table is already yours. You owe me money because of a debt, because I give you credit. Then that is called a debt. Then they will have the halakhas of a debt.
So it's like zakat al
milk? Yes, yes. But if I'm giving you the table and he forgets that you haven't paid or not paid, then you're mechuyev to pay, because if you don't, you've stolen the table.
So that should be the same as all else.
So is it the same as no or not? Let's jump to states, but very good.
So
let's go back to our case.
Why is it different from a toss in like the supermarket? Why is it different from a toss in the supermarket where the guy gives me back too much change? So I'm allowed to keep the change. When a guy, if I go to a guy's supermarket,
yes,
and he gives me back too much change,
yes,
so I'm allowed to keep the change. Why is that different from this?
Because I made a mistake here.
Oh, here I'm making a mistake?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, so it's not where he makes a mistake. So he makes a mistake myself, I'm not mechuyev to correct him.
I am taking advantage of the mistake he makes. Yes?
So he made the mistake himself, or I caused him to make the mistake?
He gave me the table, wasn't a mistake. I now have a duty to give the money.
Right.
It's my obligation to give the money.
Okay.
He's forgotten. It's not called he made a mistake. I have a duty now to fulfill my part of the bargain, because that was the condition. Otherwise, I've stolen the table. So let's go now to our case with the broker. What is the broker saying? What's he saying with his conditions? He's saying that you put money in this bank account, I'm going to do work for you. My work I'm going to do for you on condition that you can only have benefit from my work if you pay for it. And the proof is, you're not allowed to take any profits for yourself. I get benefit from the work until you've paid. So therefore, I'm giving this work and you can only benefit on condition that you pay for it. If you don't end up paying for it, then you've stolen what? My work.
Why can't you just say it's low selling to last sucker? I mean, it's a push case of low selling, no?
Who says low selling buys by good?
That's what we're passing.
So therefore, in our case, not to pay the wages for the work he produced.
The
mafreya means you've stolen that work, and therefore it's gezel.
You've stolen the work.
No, the tenai of the contract was. No, the tenai of the contract was. You're not allowed to take any profits from the work which I produce through my work until you pay my wages. That was the condition. I didn't say specific. This account. I didn't say 20%.
What is the definition of paying wages?
Wages is said of what my the hano which my work produces. No, it didn't say this account. So we'll finish off with a chazanish. Chazanish asks your question. And therefore you can think about it till next week. How ramifications are. Yes, I am number 5. The lobum in the akum, you borrow money from a goy, the hitler akum, and the goy makes a condition on the loan. Shim lo yishan lo ein mat lo kesef. If you don't pay back the debt, then I'm not going to give you the loan. Then how it gets over yoto? I get davna mutes hakav also. Do we stay over there still? End of the day, it's a debt, and you don't have to pay. Shari in lo shalom ashrat tovid yisur tzachinim because first. Well, he's made a condition, you know, over here. Maybe it's different because he says that if you don't pay, then originally, retrospectively, the money I gave you as a loan is gezel. He got a second inside. If you say it's osa, then there's no such thing as not paying back your debts of goy. Because anyone who gives money, built into giving money as a loan, is a tonight always, I'm giving you a loan, on condition that you pay me back. You have to say that even in such a case, that's called mutza, and even though you're breaking the tanai, that's not called gezel, that's also called half-cast of also. Getting money from the goy's hands, even though there's conditions attached, that's also called a loan, it doesn't come under gezel, and therefore not fulfilling the conditions doesn't mean you're stealing from the goy, it just means you're not paying back a debt. But if you don't say like that, then there's no such thing as half-cast of also, because when everyone gives money, it's always unconditioned, then you pay back eventually. Should you always say it's gezel, my friend? We don't. Therefore, we see clearly Chasanish doesn't hold to such a concept. So, what's the shot in the shaft then? By the sale. Think about it till next week. And therefore, we'll discuss whether the broker gets his money back.